The presence of the Lord is here.
Hallelujah.
I can feel it in the atmosphere.
Jesus.
The presence of the Lord is here.
Yes.
First, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Rogers for giving me this opportunity to bring God's word to God's people. I don't take that lightly at all. No, not at all. I'm exceedingly and abundantly grateful that God has chosen to use me. So I'm here in service to our Lord. So before I get into the word, I just want to say a word of prayer. But first, I really want to acknowledge a young lady that I love dearly. Terry, I am so happy that you're here. And I thank God for answered prayer for Cache. God is good. He is good all the time. And all the time he's good. So I am thankful. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come to your house, your house of prayer, Lord, to come to your house and praise and worship you without any inhibitions. Without any distractions, Lord, I just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving each and every one of us one more chance on this side of glory to praise and worship you. Now, God, as we get into the word that your Holy Spirit has so diligently worked with me to bring to your people, I pray that Denise diminish and that the Holy Spirit rises up in me. So the focus is on your word, not on me, not on my delivery, not on anything but you. Your holiness, your greatness. That's it, and that's all. And that is my prayer. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. So the word today, if you would turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. Jeremiah 18, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. If you have it in your Bible, you can say amen. Otherwise, it's right there. Just let me know when you're ready. Amen.
Amen.
So the word of God says in Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "House of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter? Says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his holy word. You may be seated. From this passage of scripture today, the message that I'm bringing is, make me over again. So I'd like to start with some background. So for some background, Jeremiah was a prophet of God. He was ordained by God to be a prophet to the nations before he was formed in his mother's womb. Yes. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because he wept tears of agony for his people, the people of Judah. Those are the people whom he had great compassion for. So when the Lord commanded Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house, he not only told him to go there, he put words in his mouth to speak while he was there. He gave him a message of repentance. That was his message. Of repentance to deliver to the people of Judah. Now, please know that that was no easy task for Jeremiah, because during this time, Jeremiah's ministry was truly in a bad place. It was somewhere between a rock and a hard place. Judah, the treacherous, backslidden sister of Israel, was on sin overload. The people were idolaters. They worshiped idols instead of God. They trusted in lying words. They played the harlot with many lovers. They were like well-fed, lusty stallions, everyone named after their neighbor's wife. Now, these are not my words, God's people. These are God's words. They had a defiant and rebellious heart. Yes, Judah was treacherous, likened unto a degenerate plant. The word didn't hold back on its description of Judah. To sum it up in today's language, we could just say that Judah was truly a hot mess. Okay. They had morphed into that of a strange vine. That's a degenerate plant. And this is what caused Jeremiah to weep. So that's just a little background, just kind of before we get into the actual parable. So this parable of the potter's house, it illustrates a very valuable spiritual principle. It is a vivid example of God's relationship with his people. In reading the parable, I wanted to know what it was that the Lord wanted Jeremiah to see. I wanted to see it for myself. I wanted to see what Jeremiah saw. So what I did, I had to do some research so I could get this visual in my mind's eye. I just wanted to just, you know, kind of walk by right on the side of Jeremiah, be there right there with him as he walked down to the potter's house. And so in my research, what I found is that in biblical times, the potter's wheels were made of wood. The two wheels were joined by a shaft so that the upper wheel was at hand level. The potter's foot moved the lower disc, and the connecting axle caused the upper wheel to rotate. Yes. Before using the wheel, the potter must knead his clay to get rid of the impurities and the air. Yes. He wedges it, slicing it in half, then he slams it back together to get the air bubbles out. Now, once the potter feels that the clay is ready, the potter places a container of water at his workbench to keep his fingers wet while he's turning that wheel. The potter next throws the ball of clay down on the upper wheel. Then he sets the wheel in motion. And he surrounds the clay with his hands. With his hands, y'all. Yes. Forcing it true to the center of the wheel head. Now the potter must master the clay. And he does this by making it responsive to his touch.
Yes, Lord.
The touch of his hands, y'all. The touch of his hands. He dips his fingers in the water. And then he applies pressure to the base of the clay ball, causing it to rise up like a rounded cone. Then he presses on the top of the clay. With the palm of his hands. With the palm of his hands,
yes,
y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Then he dips his fingers in the water again. And he keeps on repeating that. Because dipping of his fingers in the water and applying it to the clay, it makes it not only pliable, that water strengthens it.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Then at this point, the potter opens up the clay ball by pressing his thumbs into the center and gradually hollowing it out. Applying pressure with his fingers, he evens out the thickness of the cylinder walls.
Yeah.
There's a message in here, y'all.
Yeah.
Finally, he shapes the clay into whatever vessel he chooses.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, after all the work that the potter has put into making that vessel, after all the work, a partially formed object will disintegrate into a shapeless heap of clay. Perhaps it was the tiny stone, could have been an air bubble. Nevertheless, the clay does not leave the potter's hands.
Thank you, Lord.
Doesn't leave his hands. He needs the clay.
Thank you,
and he makes it over again.
Amen.
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 Amen. You see, this is what the Lord wanted Jeremiah to see. He wanted him to see the potter master the clay with his hands. With his hands. He wanted Jeremiah to see that the vessel that the potter made, it was marred, meaning that it was ruined. But was it really ruined? The Lord wanted Jeremiah to see that the potter did not throw the marred vessel, the ruined vessel, away. He did not throw them away. He kept the clay in his hands, y'all. And he dipped his hands in the water to make that clay pliable and to strengthen it. And he put it back on the wheel. Yes, he did. And he made it over again. He mastered the clay until the clay became his masterpiece. Amen. 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 When we drop down to verse 6, the Lord said, "Can I not do with you as this potter? Look, look," says the Lord, "as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel." You see, no matter how marred, no matter how ruined the people of Judah were, they were still in God's hands. Amen? And because of that, there was still hope. There was still hope. He didn't throw them away. God was giving them, just as he does us, an opportunity to repent, of their ways and yield to him so he could make them over again. God's people, none of us have arrived. We haven't. We slip. We backslide. We think things we shouldn't think, say things we shouldn't say, go places we shouldn't go, do things we shouldn't do. But we have that same opportunity as Judah. We can take it or leave it. They didn't take it. We can take it or we can leave it. We can yield or we can stay stiff. We can repent or we can continue our ways that are unpleasing to our God. Yes. We are the clay, and God is the master potter. And he has all power, yes. All power in the palm of his hand. Yes. There is nothing our omniscient God doesn't know about us. Absolutely nothing. He knows it all. He knows what we've done. He knows what we're doing. And he knows what we're thinking of doing. He knows it all. He knows it all. But the good news is, he can use all of our life circumstances. Every single one of them. The worst and the most painful, and make us into a beautifully unique vessel, yes. A vessel of honor, fit for the master's use. Yes. He can do that, God's people. Yes. He can do that. We have an objective. We have an objective, people, in Jesus Christ. And that is for us to live a life molded by God. Yes. Amen. Not molded by our feelings. Yeah. Not molded by what people think. But a life molded by God. Amen. Because our God knows us better than we know ourselves. Yes. And he also knows the plans that he has, yes, for us. Yes. And we can go to Jeremiah 29:11 and read, yes, that. He knows the plans that he has for us. He is not looking for our perfection. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for the opportunity to perfect us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm just going to ask you all, let's just take our sanctified imagination to the potter's house. Let's just go there. I don't know about you, but I can see God sitting at the potter's wheel, waiting for us with his hands outstretched and his foot on the lower disc, ready to spin that wheel. I can see that. I can see the water at his side, ready to make the clay yield, be pliable. I can hear him saying, "Come, come to me as you are. Choose me, choose me. Repent and yield yourself to me. Bring it all. Bring your pain. Bring your imperfection. Bring your ungodly ways. Bring your fears. Bring your hurt. Bring your doubts. Bring your best and your worst, and I will make you over again. Amen. Amen. Bring your stiff life to me, and I will dip my hands in the water. And guess what? When he does that, you will yield. You will yield. Bring all that is marred, the rocks, the air bubbles, those things that have you in bondage, whether it's spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, those things that have you in bondage. He's saying, I can hear him say, bring them to me, those rocks, those air bubbles, and I want to massage you. I will massage you and make you over again. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God's people, please know that while we have the free will to choose, make no mistake about it, our God is sovereign. And he is the one in control of this universe. Isaiah 64, 6 says, but now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you our potter. And all we are the work of your hand. People of God, our God, he molds the individuals. He molds the nations. And he molds the history of mankind. Why? Because he is a sovereign God. Our sovereign God. So can we just give him a little bit of praise for keeping us in his hand. In his hand. In his hand. And you know, you know what, God's people? God loves us just the way we are. He loves us. But you know what else? He refuses to leave us that way. He refuses to leave us that way. He wants us to be just like Jesus. This journey is a work in progress. Yes, it is. It's a work in progress. But there is much hope because we are still in God's hands. We're in his hands. God's hands. When I think of God's hands, I picture the words, and Susie, you went in Isaiah 49, started at 22. Went in Isaiah 49 and started at 16. Same chapter, same God. So when I think of that, I picture the words of Isaiah 49, 16, which says, behold, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands. That's what it said.
Thank you, Lord.
And it took me to, I'm an avid reader, it took me to this noted theologian, C.H. Spurgeon. And he penned a sermon using Isaiah 49, 16. And these are the words, it's the King James Version, these are the words that he said in his sermon. He said, these words apply, first of all, to God's ancient people. Those are the Jews. But they are equally true to all believers. Amen. And then he went on to add that the phrase that I have graven, that's what's used in the King James instead of inscribed. I have graven. That scripture does not say your name. It said, I have graven you. Our name is there, but that is not all, folks. I have engraven you, all of you. Do you see the fullness that's there? I have graven your person, your image, your case, your circumstances, your sins, your temptations, your weaknesses, your wants, your works. I have graven thee everything about thee. Everything. All that concerns you is in the palm of his hands. God engraved you and me in the palm of his hands. I have put you all together there. That's what he said. Engraved in the palm of his hands. To me, that's a hallelujah statement right there. Everything, not just my name, everything about me, everything from my DNA to the flesh that covers this body is engraved in the palm of my God's hands. In my God's hands. So can you just comprehend that? Can you comprehend that? God's hands, God's people. And I'm going to tell you something about these hands. These are the same hands of the God who is the creator of this universe, the Alpha and Omega. These are the hands of the same God who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These are the same hands of the same God who is El Shaddai and Yahweh. These are the hands of the same God who is Elohim and Adonai. Yes. The same God. These are the hands of the same God who is I am. That I am. That I am. Yes, God's people. God loves us just the way we are. But he loves us to the extent that he refuses to leave us this way. He wants us to be just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. Ambassadors of Jesus the Christ. That's powerful, folks. And that's in God's word. That's the same Jesus. The same Jesus he wants us to be like. That same Jesus that says in Philippians 2, 9, verses 9 to 11, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at that name of Jesus, at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That Jesus. That Jesus. That Jesus. So God's people, the master potter is waiting patiently to make you over again. But you know what? We must choose to go to him. And I know most of us in here have confessed our faith, but it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. When you look in the mirror, you need to know, like I need to know, that God wants me to be just like Jesus. So I'm not so, because I'm speaking his word right now, to the point that I don't need to go to the potter's house. I need to go see him. I need to bear myself. I need him to see all of me. I need him to change those things that need to be changed. Those that I know and those things that I don't know. I'm all for massage me. Split me in half. Slap me back together again. Do whatever it is you have to do. Make me over again. Because I want to be just like Jesus. 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 So I'm going to close. with this, I read this beautiful poem that was penned by Marilyn Ferguson, and it just reads right into the potter's wheel. And it says, when you're troubled and discouraged, in the darkness of the night, when obstruction clouds your vision and you just can't see the light, when life's trials overcome you and you have nowhere to turn, when you've reached the very bottom, there are lessons you must learn. For the clay is being molded. It's been twisted, pulled, and tossed. It's been rolled and it's been pounded till the ego has been lost.
Yes.
He will put you through the furnace and you will be tested to the brim. Your life will be in pieces till you give your soul to him. From blemish to perfection, his hands will form the clay. This human piece of rubble must let God have his way. When you come to him all battered in the form of a mortal man, when you cry to him in mercy, you will find the potter's hand.
Amen.
He will grind you, mold and chisel. The friction you will feel till he gently carves and shapes you upon the potter's wheel.
Thank you, Lord.
Upon the potter's wheel.
Yes.
So I'm asking all of you, take the time. Do a little self-inventory every now and then.
Yes.
Go to the potter.
Amen.
Submit yourself to him. Make yourself pliable. Allow him to mold you. Make you over again.
Yes.
No matter where you are, you could be in a very good place, but it's nothing wrong. Even if you're in the best place, you can still, there's room
yes.
for him to make you over again. Thank you, Lord. 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 I pray that someone was encouraged this morning. I pray that someone received your word in their heart, that they can take this word and apply it to their lives. And on this journey, take them one step closer than they were yesterday.
Yes, yes.
God is waiting. He's there. He's the master potter, and he wants to master you. Will you let him?
Yes.
Will you let him?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.